Good morning, everyone. Today's daf Mamzia, daf Ayin. We fell a little bit behind. We are on the bottom of Samachesim and Beis. We are starting today at the two dots at the very bottom with the words. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Rav and Nachman. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as Zechon Nishmas Liba Gavrila Bashmuel. As we are in the second half of the fifth parak of Bab Metzia, so we are discussing this in the Torah of Neshech. One is not allowed to charge interest to another Jew, and we are well into the discussion, and now we're talking about Iska. The Mishnah on the bottom of Samechesim and Aleph introduced us to the problems of Iska. Iska is just simply a simple business structure where A lender lends money to somebody for the purposes of financing a business. So he's lending some of his money, and he is going to be offering the other part of his money as a picadon, as just simply to be managed by the middle guy. And so what the managing partner is going to do, he's not a partner. So I'm going to be very clear about that, and later this morning we'll talk about a partnership. But he's not a partner, he's just simply managing the money. So because the money now of this ISCA venture is going to be split, half of it's going to be a loan and half it's going to be a picadon. So that means, like the example I gave yesterday, simple example where $100 was given over of venture capital. So the managing partner now is going to take that money, he's going to work that money, he's going to hopefully make a profit. So in the event that he, let's say, makes a profit of $20, so that's now he's coming back with $120. Now half was on loan, half was on picadon, so it's basically 50-50. So the half that's on loan, so the managing partner is going to give that money back to the capitalist, and the other half, which was a picadon that never was his, but he's going to give that back as well. So anyway, so the capitalist is going to get back his $400. What about the profits? So the profits are going to be split. So the $10 that he made on his own, on the money that he borrowed, so that he gets to keep. The $10 that he made on his friend's portion, so that he's going to give back as well. So far, so good. Everything's fine. And is there any violation of ribis? So the answer is basically no. Basically, there's no problem of ribis, meaning what just happened over here. The money that he asked me to hold, I held for him. I managed it. I made some money. I give it back to him. That's fine. And the money that I borrowed, that was my money, and I made some money with that. I made some money with that money, so I get to keep that. So almost to the point where there's no interest. However, in this scenario, there is a little bit of ribis to consider, or at least a consideration, probably the best way to say it, a consideration of ribis in the following sense. I ask somebody to take my money and manage my money. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm asking somebody to hold my money and then give it back to me. So if I get back with no extra benefits, so that's fine. That's a loan that's endorsed by the Torah. But if I get back a little bit of extra benefit, what benefit did I got? He managed my money. So he held on to my money, he managed my money, he gave it back to me. So normally there's a management fee that comes in with that. So if I don't pay him a management fee, so the extra bump, the benefit that I received by giving him my money and letting him handle my money is a management fee. So therefore, what the Mishnah taught us yesterday on the bottom of Samechesim and Aleph is that when you go into an Iska arrangement, when I am the venture capitalist and I give him money, and then he turns around and he makes the money, so we're going to split the profits, so far so good, but because there was a management tonight, and if I don't pay him a management fee, that's an extra benefit that comes to me, so that would be a violation of ribis. The solution is very simple. Pay the man a management fee. Once you pay the management fee, so then there's no problem of ribis. How much of a management fee do you have to pay? So that's where we started yesterday with the machlokas. So there is a major debate in terms of how much of a management fee you have to pay. In the Mishnah, the Mishnah just describes some sort of formula for figuring out a management fee. And we don't know precisely what the formula is. You take a person who's working very hard, ask him how much is he willing to take to work a little bit less than that. And so basically a worker who is batal. That's how our Mishnah described it. Kapoa. The Kapoa batal. And the Gemara yesterday quoted Abaye, who gave us a better sense of what it means. Again, for our purposes right now, we don't have to know how much the management fee is. But according to the Mishnah, the way Abaye explained it, it's a significant amount. I don't want to say that. because it's not a significant amount. It's whatever. It's a good amount. Okay. Now, why I say it's a good amount is because we learned yesterday through four brises that we ended off yesterday's daf with. I went through them very quickly. But in each one of the four brises, we learned that there are some Tanaim who are extraordinarily lenient in terms of what would satisfy a management fee. We saw yesterday various opinions that it's simply little loose end shearings of an animal, some of the whey that comes out of the goat, right? Eggs that didn't, in other words, you, the middleman, were asked to incubate a whole bunch of eggs. Some of the eggs didn't hatch into chicks, so the spoiled eggs could be serving as a management fee. There was a suggestion yesterday that the manure dropped by the animals, that could be served as a management fee. So, sorry. So there are a number of Tanaim who are of the opinion yesterday that you don't have to give a lot for a management fee. Even a nominal amount could serve as a management fee. Okay. And that is a summary of everything we've been doing up until now. We aren't Samech Chesamud based. We are starting on the very bottom of the Amud, starting with the words Amar Rav Nachman. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Rav Yehuda, Halacha Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, V'halacha K'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, and what do we have? A statement by Rav Nachman that if you review the four Tanaim, the four brachos that we went over yesterday, so in those you'll find three opinions, and in a row they are Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who are all of the opinion that the very small nominal fee of a management fee is all you need to do in order to remove yourself from any problem of ribbis. Okay. So, and I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you went over the four brises again, you'll see basically what I just described in the introduction, right? The eggs that didn't hatch, the manure on the ground, let him dip a little bit of his fish in your fish sauce. It really just nominal amounts for a management fee. That's all you need to do. And the Gemara then follows up with the following story. We're going to see a bunch of stories today. Okay, the sons of Rav Ilish were basically being demanded by a capitalist, right? So a capitalist over here, I mean in a literal sense, right? And we're not discussing politics right now. In other words, there's a person who gave his money. Sorry. There was a person who gave his father money for the purposes of venture capital. And the father managed the money. And the father turned a profit. But the father never paid back the financier. And so now the financier is coming to the kids with a contract. Remember, we've discussed this a number of times, right? All these business structures were contracted. So in other words, this person now, the financier, has a contract, and he's now taking the children to court because dad never paid off. Dad never paid him off, so dad owes him. And I'm a Rava, and before I get to Rava's response, just to be clear, so how did the contract read? The contract read, "How shall David see be paga ba'agar paga behefse?" And it was talking about 50% gain, 50% loss. In other words, like what we've been describing, where the money was divided, half was a loan, half was a pikadon, and so therefore we're going to share the losses, we're going to share the profits. Here's the problem. The problem is that there was nowhere in the contract that talked about the management fee. Okay. And now, this contract is taken in front of Rava, and Rava says, wait one second. In of itself, structure of the deal is fine. It's just that there's a missing clause in the contract, and there's nothing there that says management fee. And Amar Rava, now we could say it. So Amar Rava, Rav Ilish Gavar Rabahu. Rav Ilish was a great man. V'isur l'inshe lo safe. And what he would never do is he would never feed anybody something which is aser. Now over here, by the way, just as an interesting point, the Gemara's language over here is he never feeds something that anyone's aser. In other words, the simplest reading of the Gemara is that he would never involve himself in something which is prohibited. Meaning creating a business structure like this is rabbinically prohibited. Because without the management fee, so then this smacks of ribbis. So the simplest way to read the Gemara says that he would never be involved in something which is aser. However, if you read the Gemara even a little more critically, the Gemara's reading is he would never feed anyone something which is aser. Now I say that it's interesting because, as we learned already a number of times, when it comes to the iser ribbis, the iser applies to both the lender and the borrower, the witnesses and the one who wrote the contract, the guarantor. Okay, anyone who is involved in the interest loan is subject to the prohibition. So the Rishonim pick up on the fact that it says over here, he would never feed somebody something which is usur. Which, truth be told, is that, what do you mean he wouldn't feed something which is usur? By him being involved in this iska structure, so that means that he's also participating in the iska as well. He's not just feeding something which is usur. Some Rishonim, therefore, are of the opinion, based on this, that when it comes to ribis daraisa, like I said a moment ago, the iser is on the lender, on the borrower, on the witnesses, etc., etc. But when it comes to ribis derabanan, and mind you, this is ribis derabanan, it's not ribis ketsutza. When it comes to ribis derabanan, the only iser ribis derabanan is only on the malva and not on anybody else. And that fits the language over here beautifully. Meaning, over here it says that he wouldn't feed something usur to somebody else. Meaning, for he himself, had it been ribis derabanan, it would not have been prohibited. But by him being involved in such a situation, so he's aiding and abetting the lender in violating iser derabanan. So there's an interesting side point. Yeah, Danny.
Can we not say that these types of loans structured
are
implicit that there's a
matter of interest? So that's what Rava is going to argue. Perfect. So, Rabbi Amar Visir Linchil Osafi. Now, Rava, I'm sure, I'm saying this with speculation, but I'm sure Rava is basing this on precedent. I'm sure Rava is not just coming up with numbers on his own. And Rava says, look, if you're ready to take half the profit, so then he was prepared to accept to two-thirds of a loss, right? 50% profit, 66% loss. Epag behefse treitilse be'aga, or 50% profit. I'm sorry, 50% loss, 66% profit. Meaning that you have to factor the management fee somehow. And just another point of interest, I mean, there's so many interesting things here. Another point of interest, the managing fee could be worked out as a percentage. Okay. But basically, as Danny just suggested, what Rava did is he basically, even though the contract read a very specific way, Rava read into the contract so that, because we all know, we're learning the fifth parak, but we now know that there's a iser of ribis derabanan if you don't factor in the management fee. So Rava read the management fee into the contract. So after the ruling of Rava was popularized, so Rav Zvid said, I'm really not following. Meaning, we're talking about a management fee, and as we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf, and we just started off this morning, Rav Nachman says the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. And according to Rav Yehuda, what would satisfy a management fee? If you allowed him to dip his fish into your fish sauce, that's considered a good management fee. And who knows? Maybe Rav Ilish sat together with his financier. They went out for dinner one evening, and the financier handed his dipping sauce to him and says, here, go ahead, have a dip. And that would satisfy the management fee. So, all right, and that's why it's not written into the contract. And so they say to Rava, are you really ready to assume that there was no management fee whatsoever? Maybe it was, as the halacha may fall, in fact, fall like Rav Yehuda. So Rava says, well, you didn't understand Rav Nachman. He didn't mean that the halacha falls like Rav Nachman. Now, I know he said it, but he didn't mean that. In other words, all he meant is that if you go over the four brises of yesterday's daf, and you look at the shitas of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and you review their shitas, you will see that they're all b'shita achas. They're all along the same singular thought, which is that the management fee could be extraordinarily nominal. Dipping sauce, the little wool that the tufts of wool that fall off the animal, a little bit of whey, not even the milk itself, right, excrement. So in other words, they're all of the same line of reasoning. But that doesn't mean the halacha falls like that. In fact, if you go over Rav Nachman's statement again, and you look at it again, you'll see, hachinam and mistabra, it's logical. Why? Why did Rav Nachman say, the halacha falls like him, and the halacha falls like him? Keep repeating the word halacha. Why not just simply say the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda, who takes the most lenient position, go ahead, have a dip in my dipping sauce, and that serves as a management fee. Why not say like Rav Yehuda?
And then, if dipping sauce counts as a management fee, certainly the fallings off of the shearings, certainly the excrement. So in other words, why not just simply say the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? Why is he pointing to that Tana, that Tana, that Tana? Because what he's doing is he's telling us, so you see those stars? They line up together. He's not telling us the halacha falls like these Tanaim. He's just simply saying that they all follow the same line of reasoning. That's what Rav Nachman meant. Amarav. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're discussing other ways that we can propose an iska arrangement that would be acceptable. The financier is giving money to the manager. The manager is taking the money, working the money, hopefully making a profit on the money. The manager is going to take the profit, split it half and half. And what we've learned up until now is that in order to avoid the problem of ribbis, and the reason why there's ribbis is because had we just split up the profits half-half, so then the benefit that the lender would be receiving is the management fee that he didn't pay. So the solution we've had so far is very simple: pay a management fee.
Why not just the 50% that he gets of the profit be management fee? That's the actual thing that's happening.
That's what he's saying.
That the whole thing makes just the contract that the fact that he, one of them provided capital and one of them is getting 50% of the profit, that's management.
Right. So, but you can't do that. In other words, if there's no risk whatsoever, so then that's for sure interest. In other words, I'm giving you half of it yours to, you know, half of it's going to be a loan and half of it's going to be a picadon. So that way, the maximum.
Why are you spending and saying this is a picadon? It's just management. Your money, is going to get back to you.
Right.
That's whatever is left. Is 50% profit is management.
In other words, the whole thing will be a loan.
Yeah.
But you're looking to structure. You're looking to structure all the money as a loan.
No.
No loan at all.
No, he's talking.
Whatever happens, this happens to the money. You buy a house, the house goes up or down, but he manages.
Oh, I guess you could do that, but okay. All right, maybe. Okay. Let me think a little bit more. Okay. So Amar Rav Motar Shlish B'Scharech Arizemotar. So Rav says as follows. Here's another way we could construct, and that's the following. Basically, we're gonna put a cap to the profit that's going to go to the financier. So the financier is going to be receiving everything up to a third of the profit. Now, it happens to be that's great profit. Meaning, can you imagine 33% profit on your money? I'll take that. So so you're lending the money now. Again, lending the money. In the ISCA structure, you're lending the money to somebody, and you say to them as follows: up to 33%, I'll take all that. Anything above and beyond that, that's all yours. Now, it's actually very similar to what Hedy suggested. In other words, so now that the manager is able to take anything above that, so he's ready to accept that as his end of the deal, and being that now there is, in theory, not in practice, but in theory, no limit to how much money he can make. Again, I know in theory, but there is a great potential of money that he can make, so that also will satisfy the management fee. This is what Rav suggests as a means of structuring the deal. Shmuel Amar, Lamata Moser Shlishi, Elech Lebeis Araikan. So Shmuel says that's unacceptable. Meaning, let's say, the manager took the money, made 20% profit. Now again, that's excellent. But what does that mean, though? In other words, up to one third goes back to the capitalist, and so the manager gets zero. Meaning that's crazy. So Elah Amar Shmuel Kotzis Lo Dinar. So Shmuel says that what we'll do is as follows: a dinar. It's not a lot of money. Again, I don't know how to put this in our terms, but it's not a lot of money.
Token amount.
Huh? It's a token amount. And so what Shmuel says basically is, I'm okay with what Rav suggested. Up to a third will go back to the capitalist. Anything above that will go to the manager. But just to make sure that there is absolutely no problem of ribbis whatsoever, a dinar will be promised from the financier to the manager, and says, look, if you don't make anything above 33%, you're going to give me my capital, you're going to give me the profit, and you'll take the dinar, and that will satisfy the requirement of the manager fee, the management fee. V'sav Rav in kotzin lo dinar v'amar Rav. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. I think Rav agrees with this point. Why is it, the way it's presented, Rav and Shmuel are arguing. I think he agrees. Rav says, reishi eglu l'petuma. So, Rav told a manager, now over here, they were managing animals. A small animal was given to the manager. Manager was to take the animal, fan the animal up, and then any excess now is going to be divided. Or again, what the Gemara now is speculating. The structure of this deal is similar to what we described just a moment ago. Everything up to a third will go to the owner of the animal. Anything above that will go to the manager of the animal. And Rav also promised, Rav also ruled that the owner must promise the head of the animal over to the herdsman. So what do you see over here? That there was some sort of token payment that was promised still to the manager, even though we structured the agreement where up to a third to the owner, anything above that to the manager, but there's still a token payment. And so what the Gemara is basically asking is, I think Rav agrees with Shmuel. So, my love, da'amale motesh lish b'scharech, wasn't that the structure of the deal? So, lo, da'amale, imosa b'shlich, ishlish, ireish galusa, lipituma. Suggestion number one of the Gemara. No, that wasn't the deal. In other words, we assumed, but we were wrong. The deal was either you take anything above a third as your profit, or you take the head of the animal as your profit, one of the two. But in other words, it wasn't both. Ibai Zim, the Gemara makes another suggestion. Another suggestion is as follows. Rav will be okay by structuring the deal in the up to a third profit goes to the owner, anything above that goes to the manager, but only if the manager is really not working that hard. For example, let's say in this case the manager already has his own animals that he has to feed. So, I'm already feeding a lot of animals. You want me to manage your animal as well? It's not a really big deal. I'm already feeding my animals. And so therefore, you could make the argument over here that the management fee really is, to begin with, extraordinarily nominal. He's doing all the work anyway. And now, Rav says, under these circumstances, now I can hear an argument of structuring the deal of up to a third profit goes to me, anything above that will go to you. And over here, Rav is almost, so to say, ignoring the management fee, only because under these circumstances, the management fee is so nominal, considering that the herdsman over here is doing all the work anyway. The expression the Gemara says, gvilatur, gvilature, it's a great expression of the Gemara, is that once I'm feeding one animal, what's the difference of feeding one animal, feeding many animals? Okay, it's not that much work. So under these conditions, Rav will basically say, we can structure the deal and, to a certain degree, ignore the management fee. Next, Rabbi Elazar Magrunya Zavin Behemah V'Yarvelei La'Risei. A Rabbi Elazar bought an animal, gave it to a herdsman, and the herdsman now is going to fan the animal, and they're looking to divide the profits. Maftin Levi Yarvelei Reisha Ba'Agrei V'Yarvelei Pavga Ravcha. So, true to form, animal was fattened, profits were divided, and furthermore, Rabbi Elazar also cut off the head of the animal, gave it to the herdsman in lieu of the management fee. Textbook. Okay, well done. Now, Amar le Devasayu. The wife of the herdsman said, you know what? You could do better. I love it. Right? He comes home from a good day of work, made some money, and the wife says, you know, you really, honestly, you could do better. And so now, too many of us are laughing. Okay, so Amrei Devasar, so the wife of the herdsman said, "E mishtatfat mishtatfa bahadei yaf like nami alisa." You know, why not just why are you the manager? You should be part owner. you should be a partner in the deal. Don't let him give you the money and you manage his money and, you know, split the profits and you get, you know, a nice management fee. No, don't do that. Become an investor. Become a part owner. So, and you'll get half the tail. Now, the tail, by the way, was delicious. Right? I remember the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim? People love the tail. And you'll get half of everything. So don't be just a manager. Become an investor. So, Azazavim Ba'adei. Okay, so, all right. So he listens to his wife. He now, the next deal, he buys part of the animal. So now he's no longer just a manager. He's now an investor in it. And he is a 50% owner. So Paligley Malisai. And so what he does is he gets half the animal, including half the tail. Everything is great. Amar Lei, but he turns to Rabbi Lazar and says, you know, the last time we did this, you gave me the head of the animal. Like, you wouldn't mind giving me the head of the animal. So Amar Lei, Tanef Legilareshe. Amar Lei, Hashakim, Ikari, Nami Lo. He says, well, wait one second. You think this deal is the same way as it was the original deal? In the original deal, I was the owner, you were the manager. And so I give you the head just simply as a management fee. Yavinalach Tfei Porta, Mechse Karibis. Well, if I gave you any more, so it would look like a violation of Ribis. I'm sorry. Yavinalach Tfei Porta, Mechse Karibis. Sorry. Elo. I skipped a line. Amrlei. Ada, Inazuzni, Didi, Havu. Right. Thank you. Okay. Originally, all the money belonged to me. And Elo Yavinalach Tfei Porta, Mechse Karibis. Right. And if I didn't give you the head of the animal in the previous deal, so then it would have looked like ribis. As once again, if we just divide the profits, so then it looked like you held my money, you handed me back my money with the profits, but if I didn't pay your management fee, so then it looks like ribis. Hashta shutfei anan, my ka'amart. But now we are partners. And as partners, what can I tell you? Right, I'm a 50% shareholder, you're a 50% shareholder. Now you want to quibble, which unfortunately partners do. You want to quibble about who worked harder. It doesn't matter who worked harder. When you're partners and 50% shareholders, you split the profits and that's it. So, porta. So you want to tell me that you worked a little bit harder? Ami inchi, people say. Stama risa lamari ara kamishabe nafshela suye le raya. You know, you go and you get a herdsman. But in other words, doesn't matter who the one is who fetches the herdsman. Ultimately, when all said and done, when you and I are investors and you and I are 50% shareholders of it, so we split the profits and that's it. So the herdsman seemingly did not understand the nature of the relationship the way it originally was, where he was a manager versus now as an investor. Tana Rabbanan.
It's interesting. This week's parasha is about management.
Right? Oh, how come I didn't think of that? Okay, perfect. That was great. Right, that's exactly what happened in this arrangement. Tanu Rabbanan, very good. Perek Lamed. Okay, it's good. Tanu Rabbanan. Continuing the Gemara, we are about 2/3 of the way down in Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Hashem Behem L'Chaveiro. Okay, so. You go into an investment deal with your friend. You are financing the animal. You are the owner of the animal. You estimate the value, the current value of the animal, and you hand it to your friend. So now his job is to raise the animal. And then, raise the animal, give it back to you. Again, same basic story. Splitting of the profits, give him a management fee, etc., etc. But basically, the Gemara's discussion over here is, how long a period in time is it that he's expected to manage the animal, raise it, grow it, meaning that there's an assumed nature of this deal in which he, the manager, is going to have to take care of it for a certain amount of time. And to a certain degree, he's stuck for a while. How long is he stuck for? So, for donkeys, 18 months. But Godros for small animal, sheep, goat, Chav Dal Chosh, 24 months. The Lachluk Betoks Mano, Chaver Ma'akiv Alav. And let's say anytime before that, the manager said, you know what? These goats, these sheep, you drive me crazy. Like, let's end the business partnership right now. Let's divide it right now. And the owner of the animal says, no, you agreed to manage my animals from birth until, and now we know that until means until 24 months. You are, you're right, that's the standard, and you are now bound to that understood portion of the contract. But what the Bryce seems to be saying is, but the second year is not as bad as the first year. Now the Gemara says, now the gears over here is a little bit mixed up, but either way, the point the Gemara is going to make is the same. With the correction on the side, my aval de ka'amar. But the second year is not as bad as the first year. shouldn't the point be exactly the opposite? Meaning, why is the herdsman stuck with the animal for 2 years? It should be because the second year is harder than the first year. And that's why the owner of the animal doesn't want the animal back in year two. Right? Year one, raising the animals is hard. Year two, even harder. Now, again, I have no experience. I don't know why, but just assuming that the Gemara knows what it's talking about. So the Gemara says, fine, we'll make the correction in the Braisa. You're right. Because the second year is so much harder than the first year, so therefore the owner can say to the manager, you agree to take the animal and raise the animal, you're stuck with the animal year one and year two. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes now another Braisa. Hashem behem l'chaver on masaych al atap of avlados. A contracted agreement to take an animal, take care of the animal, and the offspring as well. And how long do you have to take care of the offspring? So bedaka lamin yom avigasa nun yom. So if it comes to a small animal, 30 days, a larger animal, 50 days. Rav Yossi Amar bedaka gemachadashim, memnesha tipula meruba. A small animal, you have to take care of it for 3 months because the amount of work necessary for a small animal is tremendous. Mighty pula meruba, shishina hadakos. It has to do with the fact that the teeth are so small, so therefore its amount of work and effort is a lot. Okay, now, mikan ve'elach, here it gets interesting. Mikan ve'elach nota mechsa shelo, ve'chatzi mechsa v'shal chavero. Now, we are discussing in the Gemara basically taking their dividends and reinvesting the dividends. Okay, we could talk. I'll give this by way of illustration, by way of stock. Okay, your stock performs. There are dividends, so dividends are sent to you. Now, what you could do is you could take the dividends and you could put it back into the portfolio and just simply reinvest the dividends. When you reinvest the dividends and you're buying more stock with the dividends, so basically now those dividends turn back into capital. So over here, we are now having an interesting discussion of, you have a manager who was given an animal. The animal now is going to have children. And now, what would to be the case if we would then take those children and move on to the next generation? Okay, Hedy, your point is right, like really on point over here, like Yaakov did in this week's parsha. Okay, and now how do we view now the next generation of animals? So you see, remember, half the animals belong to you, half the animals belong to the investor. So the half that belong to you, their children of those animals are all yours. Nothing to talk about. Those animals were yours. The second generation, third generation, for sure going to belong to you. Here's where it gets interesting. On the animals that belong to the investor, you see, now you are creating a new business deal on the next generation. Meaning on the animals that belonged to the investor, meaning on the children that belong to the investor, when they have, I should use a better word because I know we're talking about animals over here. On the offspring, thank you. On the offspring of the investor's animals, once you now have that make new in children, so basically what you're doing now is you're making a new ISCA arrangement, a new business structure. And so therefore for those animals, so half the profits of those animals go to you. So half of half, so a quarter. And so basically now, what the Bryce is teaching us is that if the owner did not divide it after generation two and only comes in for generation three, well, he's not going to be receiving all the animals of his portion of generation three. In other words, a significant portion, half of the profits of those animals are going to go to the manager as well. And the Gebraisa here describes the scenario. Mikan ve'elach, it's the first wide line. Noto mechsa shelo, ve'chatzi mechsa b'shal chaveiro. So half the animals of generation two go to him, and half of the in generation three go to him as well. Okay. Now that the Gebraisa tells us that when you're producing offspring of generation two, so half of those offspring of the owner go to you, half the profits go to you, Gemara follows it up with a story. Rav Menashe bar Gadol shaka mechsa shelo vechatzi mechsa b'shel chavero. Okay, and Rav Menashe bar Gadol, who was a herdsman, basically did exactly as the Brisa just described, where for the second generation, half of them got split between him and the owner, and then a new wave of animals were born at the third generation and of the third generation. So the half that belong already to him of generation two all belong to him, and half of the owners, that is considered a new business relationship. And so he took half the product, half the profits of generation three of generation two animals. So also coming to Abaye. So the owner now went to Abaye, and the owner said to Abaye, well, one second, it seems like he's taking more than he should. So Amalei Man Palaglach. So Abaye's first comment is, well, who divided it for you? Meaning, if you wanted to take half the animals, what you should have done is, you should have gone in there at the point where you had your first wave of offspring, right, generation two, and you should have divided right there and then. Nobody did that. So that, and he was left to manage those animals. Once he's left to manage those animals, so now it's considered a new business venture on generation two. So if you wanted to take half your animals, you should have stopped him right there and then. And on top of that, it happens to be that the custom of our community is that it is normal to keep breeding and continuously breed. And if that's the minhag, so then you follow the minhag. Next story. Two Kutians did a business venture together. Now, what the manager did is the manager split the money, but without the owner's knowledge. So he says, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about splitting money. Money is a currency. Money is so easily dividable. There's not going to be a question of fighting of estimation. You overestimated, you underestimated. You think that's how much it was worth. What's wrong with you? So in other words, it's money. Once we're talking about money, money is divisible, and you don't need the other person to be there present for the division of money. Lashana, the next year, Zavon Chaber Behadeh Adadeh. They bought an animal together. So in other words, the way these two structure their next deal is not as an owner-manager, but as partners. And so what happened was is that one of the partners divided the money without the other partner. Also coming to Rav Papa. Once again, they turned to Rav Papa for a ruling. So, and here, the question that he asked is, you didn't get an estimation before you divided. In other words, in the second case over here, they weren't talking about the division of money. They were talking about the division of some sort of product. It needed an assessment. And so Rav Papa said, your division of it was not good because you didn't get a objective estimation of it. And because you didn't do so, you need the other partner there before you divide in order so that it would be a fair and equitable division. Now, it happens to be that in these back-to-back years, so Rav Papa ruled against one of the Kusian. And he felt that Rav Papa was not ruling objectively. He thought that Rav Papa was out to get me. And he was really upset with Rav Papa. So Asemar, I'm sorry, the Basa Didi Ka Asemar. I'm Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says, Ki Agad Navadit Tzarech Lo Duye. Here, I have to explain my ruling. And as Tosus points out over here, generally speaking, when a judge rules on a case, a judge does not have to give an explanation. The judge knows, we assume, judge knows the halacha, judge knows what he's doing. A case comes before the judge rules. And he doesn't have to give an explanation. However, under these circumstances where, in this particular case, this particular litigant got ruled against by the same judge two times over, and actually feels that the judge has a vendetta against him. So Rav Papa feels that under these circumstances, normally I don't have to explain myself. I will explain myself over here. Zuzi Mishakel, Tavi Vishavik Chasrei. Amra Ama Yada Deika Debasim Vika Delabasim.
He says, look, in the previous year when you were talking about actual money, right, you had a ISKA arrangement and it was really money. So money you could divide easily. And I don't need an estimation, and I don't need him to stand next to you to make sure you divide the money well. However, over here, you did a venture on wine. I think previously I called it a donkey. Okay. It was wine. You did a business deal over wine. And so wine, there's good wine, there's bad wine. In other words, if you want to divide the proceeds of that business venture, but it doesn't come in the form, the venture doesn't come in the form of money, it came in the form of the wine, we all know there's good wine and there's bad wine. And so therefore, you need an estimation and you needed the other partner present before dividing the profits. Gufa. We are in Samach Tes Amud Beis, we're towards the top of the Amud. I'm Rav Nachman Zuzi, come on, depligi damu. Rav Nachman says that when you have money, money is already considered divided. It's so easy to divide money, therefore you may do so. You don't need the other partner present. You don't need the financier present. As long as you trust the numbers, so you can divide the money with no a question of an inequitable division. Now the Gemara says the coins have to be good and the coins have to be heavy. But if, let's say, there's a discrepancy in the coin. Some coins are good, some coins are heavy. But they're not all standard coins. So then, we don't say this ruling of Rav Nachman, and you need the other partner present before dividing the money. Rav Chama Avamugir Zuzi Bipshita. Okay. This will be probably one of the funniest gemaras that we're going to see in the course of the fifth parak of Bava Metzia. Rav Chama rented out his money. Okay. He didn't lend with interest, of course not. So what he did is he rented out his money. And so he gave somebody his money and he asked for a pshita. He asked for a small coin in exchange for the renting of his money. But not interest. Everyone see the difference? Okay, good. And Rav Chama Avamugir Zuzi Bipshita Biyuma. So for a single day of renting out his money, so it's probably one of the best gemaras of the fifth parak. So for every day of renting out his money, so he would expect a small coin in exchange for the renting of his money. Good. So Kalu Zuzi de Rav Chama. Now, so the coins of Rav Chama were exhausted. So they got lost. We're going to see this later on, says Rashi. You lend with interest, your money will be depleted. Meaning, Dina D'Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so unhappy with you for renting. I gave away the answer. For lending your money on interest, that even though obviously your objective is to gain money, but since you did so illicitly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the money away from you. And that's exactly what happened to Rav Chama. So, who suffered Maishna Mimara? Now, Rav Chama said, look, I rent out my shovel. I expect money back for the rental of my shovel. So how is this any different than renting out my shovel? Velohi, but the Gemara points out, the difference is obvious. Now, I should start off by saying the difference is obvious. One, the Torah allows, and the other, the Torah does not allow. Yeah, the Torah allows you to rent out your objects. The Torah does not allow you to rent out your money. That's called lending with interest. Okay. But the Gemara also says, even from a common sense financial explanation, there's a very, very easy way to explain it. Mara, Hajar Beinevi, Adia Pachse. When you rent out your shovel, there will be a depreciation of the shovel. In other words, usage creates depreciation, and so therefore you have every right financially to rent it out and to expect some sort of money payment for it, as the object itself will be depreciated. Zuzi lo Hajar Beinayu, Velo Yadia Pachse. But money is a currency. Money does not depreciate. In other words, when I give somebody money and I get it back, I'm getting back the same coin with the same value. And
you said in the past, we said that the coin is going to be changed.
Right. Money does wear down. Right, you're right, correct. The money does eventually go out of currency because it gets so worn down.
But you're not giving the same coin.
Not necessarily. Agreed. Amar Rava, Shari Leilinish Lamemar Leilachavre. A person can say to his friend, Helech Lal Zuzim Ve'uzve Lepanaya. Take these four Zuzim and lend to so and so. So, Lepanaya Zuzi. So basically, you could broker a deal
by incentivizing somebody to lend money to so-and-so. Now, lo asr Torah el ribis abal milova lamava. And yes, it's true. The Torah does prohibit interest. Interest-bearing loans. But over here, that's only when the interest goes directly from the borrower to the lender. But over here, if he's being incentivized by a third party, so that does not violate interest. Now, there's a lot of discussion. And I just, in other words, before practicing this, putting this into practice, a lot of discussion about there are serious limitations on this ruling of the Gemara. But basically, as long as there is no communication between the borrower and this third party, so it would be okay. But again, before putting this into practice, consult. So once again, it's basically the same basic idea, where take four zuzin and go tell somebody that you'd like to borrow money. So again, incentivizing. My amira kashaka, because over there you are just you're paying somebody, but just basically to act as a broker. The Gemara tells a story in which Abba Mar Berei de Rapapa, the son of Rapapa, would take cakes of wax. The Amalei Lavua Usfu Zuzi. And then he would send to his father, go ahead and lend him some money. So Amalei Rabban Rapapa Achel Berei de Mar Ribisa. Wow, you know what? Your son collected interest. Amalu Kolki Ribisa Nechel. He said, I wouldn't mind if he ate that kind of interest every day. Over here, he got paid, but only for promoting, for brokering the deal. Vishari, and under these circumstances, it would be permissible.